This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, kids, here we go. The 2021-22 ACC Women's Basketball Preseason Awards and predicted order of finish. And let's start with the poll, shall we? 57 voters in the ACC's Women's Basketball Blue Ribbon Panel, Mark.
Like that.
50 of the 57 voted NC State to win the conference for a total of 847 points. The other 7 votes went to Jeff Walls in Louisville. Nell Fortner and Georgia Tech third in the preseason ahead of Virginia Tech and Florida State. Notre Dame is 6th, North Carolina 7, and Duke preseason picked 8th. Then Miami, Clemson, Boston College set the table for Wake Forest, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and Virginia to round out the preseason poll here.
Pretty similar to what the AP poll came out with NC State and Louisville sitting here at the 5-6 national spot, and both Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Florida State all ranked
right in
the top 25, and Notre Dame also receiving votes. Those were the 6 teams getting some love on the AP side, and if you look on the blue ribbon panel, those are the same 6. So that's consistent from that standpoint, even though the blue ribbon panel had a little bit different order of the Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Florida State combo. Mm-hmm. But I think the point, though, Wes, you got 2 really marquee teams in the league with NC State and Louisville, and then it is going to be some kind of race to see who can join the mix. I mean, it's going to be deep in the league this year.
Well, we go back to the national AP poll that came out yesterday. NC State, the highest rated of those teams. Louisville right there in the neighborhood, right? In the top
5 and
10.
6.
And remember now, the Wolfpack is going to play the preseason #1 South Carolina to start the year.
Hopefully with the same results as a year ago when they went to Columbia and knocked off then #1 South Carolina.
Exactly. So congratulations to Wes Moore, who visited with us last Wednesday, in fact, in Uptown Charlotte at the tip-off, and talked about the pressure and dealing with it in this upcoming season.
Yeah, you know, I think starts with the expectations. You know, I don't think anyone has any higher ones than we do, so I don't think that's any added pressure or anything. You know, we were disappointed the way the season ended.
Sure.
We talked about, you know, in planning our championship rings, do we want to put – 3 straight Sweet 16s, the players said, no, we don't want that on there because they are not satisfied. So, you know, we have high aspirations.
Sure,
yeah,
there
we
go. That's good.
So, again, we're excited about getting it started. We need to stay healthy. You know, first round of the NCAA tournament last year, Kayla Jones, who I felt like was our glue, tore her patella tendon, and we didn't really have a good answer. You know, Jada Boyd's a great player, but, you know, she couldn't play 40 minutes, and so we didn't have quite the depth we needed. Hopefully our depth is better. I think, you know, we're playing an unbelievable non-conference schedule, so I think that's going to prepare us for a brutally tough ACC league with all these super seniors. It's going to be really a challenge every night.
You know, getting there is one thing. Staying there is a whole different beast. And that's what NC State's going through right now. And it's cool to watch. I mean, and I think that talking to Coach last week, I think they're embracing it. I think they are really eagerly anticipating, hey, we know we're catching everybody's best shot. And Louisville's lived this life too. I mean, those 2 teams and programs, that's what it is, programs, have reached the point where they understand that, hey, every night you play, you better be ready to go because you're going to catch everybody's best shot.
The Blue Ribbon panel not only had a predicted order of finish, they also posted an all-ACC team, and there are several names on this list. But the preseason all-ACC team is voted on by the Blue Ribbon panel. Now, this is here are all the names. Taylor Soule, Delisha Washington, Lorella Kubai, Lodome Lotnin of Georgia Tech, Haley Van Lith, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, Elisa Cunane of NC State, Maddie Westbelt of Notre Dame, and then Eliz Kitley and Asia Shepherd of Virginia Tech on that list.
Pretty good talent there,
Yep, those are the 10 that made the preseason All-ACC team, according to the Blue Ribbon panel. Washington's been a sensational player for Amanda Butler at Clemson. Maddie Westbell, I thought, was one of the better freshmen in the league a year ago.
No doubt.
As the same for Haley Van Lith, too.
And that 1-2 combination that Coach Brooks has at Virginia Tech, they're a problem now.
That's why they're a matchup issue.
Yeah,
Kenny Brooks has done a nice job. Kittley and Shepard deserving, certainly, of the preseason top 25 by the AP and the top five vote of the Blue Ribbon panel. They also had a newcomer list for the Blue Ribbon panel as well, and five players made that. Keep an eye on this group now. Peyton Verhulst of Louisville, Diamond Johnson at NC State, Olivia Miles, Sonia Citron at Notre Dame, Tiani Key at North Carolina. So we'll keep an eye now on new faces as well, according to the newcomer watch list from the Blue Ribbon panel. All brings back Neil Ivey now. Maddie Westbell, here are a couple of other players. Things of that nature. You mentioned Notre Dame earlier.
I did. Well, I mentioned Notre Dame last week. I think that they're going to get back into the mix. Again, Muffet did such a brilliant job, and I think they made a seamless transition. You go through a loss of personnel, but they've recruited well. I would not be surprised if Notre Dame has a bounce back year.
Of the Blue Ribbon panel on the All-ACC team, 42 votes for Player of the Year went to the preseason player of the year on not only the Blue Ribbon panel, but also the head coaches list that they compiled as well. And that probably is not going to be a surprise when you see who the preseason player of the year is, because she's one of the dominant players in college basketball on the ladies' side, and it's Elisa Cunane of NC State, who is a double-double waiting to happen, Pac.
Big-time talent, and of course, we had some fun at her expense a little bit last week when her coach was trying to have a real conversation with us, and she was in the background having some fun with Coach Moore. But, yeah, you're right. Terrific talent.
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny, Wes. Yesterday we did this for the men's side, and we went through the whole list, right?
Yeah.
The player of the year on the men's side is a guy no one has seen play.
Yeah.
Right? The women's side, it looks totally different. I mean, you got star power all over the place. And I'm not trying to diminish the men's side, but we're so used to ACC men's basketball where you've got stars all over the place. Doesn't feel that way at all. The ladies' side, totally different.
Yep.
Right? It just feels totally different. We've got all this terrific experience coming back. And I just think the race in the ACC with two elite programs at the very top with NC State and Louisville. And I think you really could truly can go 6, 7, 8 deep of everybody else who's going to have a run. It's going to be a tremendous year of women's basketball.
Yeah. So Elisa Cunane of NC State, Liz Kittley of Virginia Tech had 10 votes in the preseason player of the year from the Blue Ribbon panel. And then you saw five others get a vote. I'm not surprised Cunane is the winner. The overwhelming nature of it, a little surprising, because Kittley's a wonderful player as well for Coach Brooks. We got talent everywhere in this league.
Yep.
But Elisa Cunane is, she's special now in terms of a national presence as well. And that's why the stage on opening night for NC State and South Carolina is so exciting.
And I love the fact that teams like that are scheduling each other. Mm-hmm. It's great for the sport.
Yep.
It's a natural rivalry. There's no downside to that at all. If you want to get people involved in women's basketball, hey, let the best play the best, right? The environments have been out of sight. People are into it. The ladies put a ton of work into it, incredibly skillful. Everything about that is a win-win as far as I'm concerned.
Wonder how many teams can get in the NCAA tournament based on this preseason poll.
Well, who knows?
Eight, you know. 10?
10 would be a big number.
Would be a big number.
But I think 8's certainly doable if things fall in place. By the way, I had a phone call yesterday. I wish you were on the call. Billy Pack calls me yesterday.
Billy called you?
Yeah.
Wish you a happy birthday, obviously.
Yeah, Billy and Barb called to wish me
happy
birthday.
Well, bless their heart.
So, Barb called, right, to wish me happy birthday.
Sure, Billy, I've been there.
Right. You know where this is going.
Yeah.
And so Barb gets done, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff, Thanksgiving coming up and how the girls and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, hold on a second, Mark. Billy wants to say something to you. Yeah, sure, put him on the phone. Hey, here he comes. All right.
Where was the happy birthday? Was it somewhere in there?
Well, eventually.
Yeah.
But that's okay. So he goes, I was watching the show today. I said, oh, good.
Oh, hey, Billy.
Yeah. He said, I'm watching the show today. He goes, are you kidding me? I said, about what? He goes, the show. I said, I know that. What part of the show? The ACC men's basketball. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
And he goes, are you kidding me? He goes, a freshman's the player of the year? Right? I said, hey, I kind of said that yesterday. You know, that does, to me, that does tell me something about, quote unquote, the star power returning. Well, he went off.
Sure he did.
I mean, went off. This is where we are. Bill, this is what it is.
This is where we are,
this
Billy.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to watch it, or you can love it. You can do whatever you want with it.
Was this before he said happy birthday?
He eventually got to birthday.
Oh, did good.
But this was like a 20-minute conversation about the where we are for ACC men's basketball. But I think the ladies have the star power
No question.
Heading into the season.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I keep hearing about Pac and the cross-country championships.
Oh, are you delivering some good news?
So
Comcast can wait.
Oh, my gosh.
So this year,
yes, sir.
October 29th, South Bend, Indiana,
yeah,
Notre Dame is going to host the men's and women's cross-country championships,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
We have a number one team on the women's side, a number two team on the men's side. I think in total we have maybe eight teams ranked in the top 25. I am going to try to get to every championship this year and hand out the trophy. So that's the first one of the 21-22 season.
Okay.
So.
What are we doing?
Oh, yes!
All right.
I'm leaving the basement.
So here's his official bib.
No. He's just giving you the entry form. He hadn't told you you're going yet.
Oh, I'm going. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
So
when I get that bad boy, I got to be there.
Is so, Packer running? Is that what he meant? Are we running?
No, look at this.
Pack is going to be the rabbit. He's in the golf cart.
Oh, no.
And
watch out.
He is going to be leading those races.
No. Look at that.
Oh.
Eat your heart out, America.
Come on.
What turned into a crazy idea is starting to absolutely unfold to perfection.
Is it? Perfection?
Perfection.
Is that what we're looking for?
And if you don't, I told you, if you think I'm just going to show up and that's all we're doing, you would be wrong. You would be wrong, Wes Durham.
Let's go to Raleigh, shall we?
Let's do it.
Arguably one of the most decorated cross-country runners in America at this point on the collegiate level. Please welcome back our friend Hannah Steelman, 9 times an All-American. Second outdoors a year ago, first indoors, Olympic trials, everything you could show. And this is the one of the premier runners in all of college athletics and clearly one of the best in the ACC. NC State's had another great fall schedule. Hannah, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you.
Hello. Thank you so much for the introduction. It is great to see you guys. Great to be back.
Now, you've gotten word about the commissioner's selection to let Mark be the rabbit next Friday at South Bend. Your initial reaction to the decision by the commissioner?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was all for it. You get the best seat in the house. I'll just, you know, try to get as close to you as I can when I'm racing. So,
well, you know, I have been studying the Notre Dame cross country field because I need to do my homework. You just can't show up and drive that thing.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Oh, Hannah, have we done this to you? I'm sorry. That's a Packer and Durham license plate on the front of the ATV. Oh, my heavens. Oh,
that is the Packmobile, by the way. That's not just a golf cart. That's not an ATV. Oh. It's the Packmobile.
All right.
So I've been studying this layout, Hannah, and so I don't want to just show up and any monkey could drive a golf cart. You got to really study the course. So with that said, any info that you could pass along to the rabbit would be certainly appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty flat. So, you know, you don't have to worry about making it up any hills or anything. But, yeah, we'll be moving pretty fast. So you just got to make sure you don't get in our way.
Well, I've been known to possibly go over the speed limit from time to time. In the Ford F-150. So I don't think this is going to be a problem in the Packmobile. I'm excited. Lead foot that bad boy and let's go. Ready? Let's do it.
Yeah, full speed ahead. All right. Yeah, put that baby into fast gear.
Okay, Hannah, let's get back to the nuances that the competitors are looking for in the lead cart here, though. Are you looking for a good pace out front? What do you? I mean, you
she
run at the
told
front.
You.
You run at the front a lot. What do you?
Speed.
No. We're not easy over there, Mario Andretti.
That's right. Now you're starting to come around.
What are we looking for though to make this a competitive field? What's he got to keep in mind besides the fact he wants to put the pedal to the floor?
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling you'll see a lot of Wolfpack up there. We've been really into the pack running this year, and we run really deep. In every race so far, there's been a lot of whatever color we're wearing, whether it's red or black. I mean, you'll see like five wide of that uniform. So hopefully you'll see a lot of us up there. But, I mean, the ACC has some good competition, lots of fast girls. So I have a feeling the front pack will just be full of different color uniforms for a while and stuff. I would expect to see a really good showdown next Friday.
Hannah, from a weather standpoint, does it matter to a cross-country runner? Hot, cold, windy, wet? Is that a big deal or not?
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to be prepared for anything. That's part of cross-country is, we don't really talk about PRs as much in cross-country because every course is just so subjective to, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the race day conditions are. So if you have a perfect day with great conditions, you could run so much faster than a day where it's like cold rain or super muddy. So, I mean, it does make a difference, but that's part of like the mental toughness that cross country is just being prepared for anything and not really letting it get to you because everyone has to run in the same conditions on whatever day. So
you run so many different disciplines. I mean, steeplechase, you do so much from a distance perspective. Where does this kind of fit for you in terms of your overall running journey?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think especially with running steeplechase, you have to be strong because it's such a tough event, physically, mentally, all that stuff. You got to be strong on so many levels. And I think cross country is pretty equivalent to that. Because I mean, you're running hills every once in a while, or, you know, it's so hard to tell like what every course is going to have because everything's so different. And you just need to be prepared for anything. And I think having the strength from steeplechase transitions pretty well to the cross country course. So usually you'll find that good steeplechasers are usually pretty good on the cross country course too.
Hannah, as far as training goes, walk us through that a little bit as far as making sure you peak at the right time when you run.
So usually for the first half of the season, a little over half of the season, I mean, you're just constantly running on tired legs. So that's something you just have to get used to being is uncomfortable because we're not trying to peak in our first couple races of the season. We're trying to peak later. So that means training through the hard races, keeping the mileage super high and the intensity super high. So like, for example, after racing this past weekend, I mean, we still got up the next morning on a Saturday and did a long run, which is somewhere between like 12 and 14 miles for people. So, I mean, you just really, you know, it's true, like no days off essentially. And, I guess when you get closer to championship season is when you start to cut down the mileage and, just make sure that you're as rested as possible while still, you know, being prepared to
wait a second.
Now, do well at those meets.
Did you hear that?
I heard 12 to 14 miles.
The day after. No. The day after the competition, we went for a long run of 12 to 14 miles.
I heard all that.
What do you do the day after a competition?
I didn't like the sound of any of that. I like the sound of the best. Here's about the best thing that Hannah said so far in this interview. You're going to have the best seat.
Yeah. Well,
period.
Remember, Hannah is also responsible for the line of distinction on this show in her last appearance when she said, okay, now you can get to the mailbox, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Hannah said you can get to the mailbox, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the question is,
I have.
Can you get to the mailbox?
I've gotten to the mailbox.
Yeah, how's that going?
How's that going?
Outstanding. And let me tell you, Hannah, it's uphill. So I've really had to pace myself. to get over. But that 12 good, to 14 good. Miles after the fact, nah, that's not in. That's yeah. not in. That's not on the agenda.
Well, yeah.
Unless the Pac-Mobile's gassed up, ready to roll.
I'm going to take the uncomfortable portion of the discussion. You just got to get uncomfortable with what you're doing when you have tired legs. Now, though, as you said, you're going into championship phase. You guys have had, and I was going to ask you about this. You said you run together in a cross-country event. You guys have a great competitive nature, and I think some saw that on the all-access ACC show we had a couple weeks ago here, and Coach Hennis was talking about the competitive nature, and you and your teammates seem to have a very good competitive spirit about an individual sport being a collaborative effort.
That's the nice thing about this team is that it's certainly healthy competition. Like, we're not trying to beat each other in workouts to, like, dig at each other. It's just because we want to make each other better and we want to be the best that we can be. And it's a really cool opportunity that I have that my biggest competition or some of my biggest competition are my own teammates. Because then I have the advantage of getting to train with them every day and, you know, work on my, you know, weaknesses to try to match their strengths. And that's just... Yeah, like I said, like a really cool opportunity because on race day, I think that'll really pay off.
Hannah, as far as competition outside of your teammates, what can we look forward to?
Yeah, like I said before, the ACC has a lot of talented girls up there. I think in my head, I know who I'm expecting to see up there. But at the same time, cross country is so unpredictable. Like, you never know what could happen. So just being prepared for whatever happens and being able to match the move of any of the top girls up there who really tries to go for the win. I know there's a lot of us that really want it. So, you know, just being prepared for whatever happens.
Hannah, are there any mind games that take place before a run? I mean, I know we talk about the physical part of this, but is there like a little gamemanship? Like, if you already have in your head, hey, there's three or four really terrific competition opponents for me on race day. Is there anything that goes on before we get to the starting line where there's a little gamemanship? Or is it just like, hey, drop it, let's go. On your mark, get set, go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to approach it is the latter, like drop it and let's go. Because more often than not, I feel like the mind games will only like negatively affect you, I think. Because if you're thinking too much about it, it can like stress you out or you can start having doubts or whatnot. And, you know, it's just, it is unpredictable, like I already said. So it's just, you know, you got to mentally prepare for whatever it may throw at you. And I think that's the mentality that we all try to have is just like, okay, like we're fit, we're ready. Let's not overthink it. Like, racing is a celebration of your training, like what you've been working on. That's something that we preach. So that's kind of the mentality we have.
You mentioned that this is a flat track at Notre Dame. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or would you rather have a different topography where, hey, we're going uphill, downhill, side? Or I mean, you tell me, you run. I'm going to be in the golf cart. Is it easier when you know it's a flat track?
Personally speaking, I like when there are a little bit of hills in there because, I mean, for example, the course that Nationals was in in March, that one had a lot of, you know, up, down, and it worked out pretty well for me because I feel like that's when you can really get people when they're feeling off is, you know, passing them on a big hill. And that also does something for your confidence when you're able to power through that. But there are also advantages to a flatter race. It'll be quick. You know, sometimes the speed plays a factor in there. You certainly don't hit a hill that can make you like hurt a ton. So, I mean, there's advantages to both.
Two things here. One, it's a morning race. We've already kind of outlined Packer's day. He's going to do the show. I'm worried about fatigue and conditioning a little bit on his part, even though he's driving the Pac-Mobile that's now been
called.
They
got donuts there, don't they, for runners? I'll have a couple of those and be ready to roll.
I don't think they have donuts for runners.
I'm bringing some.
Okay. Well, here's
maybe
my
after.
Question. Does he need to sleep well? Do you prefer to sleep well the night before a race?
Time for sleep.
You know, does he need to sleep well? What would you suggest he have for breakfast before, you know, he drives in the morning meet, if you will?
Yeah, I always try to sleep well. I think the sleep in the weeks leading up to something is more important than the night before necessarily. I try to be in bed pretty early because we usually get an early start to the day. But coffee is essential if you're me. A cup or two. You don't like coffee?
I don't need coffee. I don't sleep.
He's a fully caffeinated human without the coffee, Hannah. He's one of those.
2 hours of sleep. I don't need no stinking coffee.
You're blessed.
What can I tell you? By the way, do you know that this year I understand that the winner, both the men's and women's sides, get a victory lap in the Pac-Mobile?
No, they don't.
Did you know that?
No, they don't. That's not true, Hannah. No, Hannah, that's not true.
That changes things.
That's not true, Hannah. No, it's not true.
You got to ride front row.
No, Hannah, it's not true. Nope. No.
We put the commissioner in the back seat.
No, we don't put the commissioner in the back seat. Hannah, look. Let me tell you something. You've been gracious with your time. You're always very pleasant to visit with. You're a fabulous runner. We wish you all the best next Friday. Stay away from PAC.
No,
would you? Just
no,
stay
do not stay
you
away
stay,
from
when
PAC.
He's driving, you can stay close. But
I need to. Yeah, I was like, I need to stay close to him, technically.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. Just the exact opposite. Got to get as close to me as possible because I'm in the lead.
That's right.
I am the rabbit.
That's sure you are.
Hannah, we will see you on Friday.
Oh,
we wish you the
heavens.
Best.
Thanks, Hannah.
All right. Thank you so much for
Take
having
care.
Me.
Oh, always a
best.
Pleasure.
You're the best. Appreciate it. Hannah Steelman of NC State.
So great. She's
one
awesome.
Of the premier distance runners in America. And always fun to visit with us. And I'm not kidding you. All-American 9 times.
She's awesome.
Olympic trials qualifier. Unbelievable. And she's very kind to spend time and put up with the shenanigans here.
Well, you know what? He can
she
say
told
that
you
all
get
you
a
want.
Lot of sleep, by the way.
You know, let me tell you something. I think I fly into South Bend like at midnight.
Gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I got to do the radio show Thursday.
Work.
I always work. All I do is work. And then I think I get into South Bend about midnight. By the time I figure out if they tell me I have a hotel room, I'd be about 2.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything's going to be open to eat on the way over. Maybe somebody in South Bend can help me on that.
Oh, no.
Is there a late night place to grab a good piece of pie or a burger? Pizza?
Can we
South Bend late night?
Can we, first of all, thank Dave for helping us with the Photoshop of you driving the...
Awesome. Loved it.
ATV.
But, you know, there's no need to
Jim
sleep.
Daves. Jim Daves sent that. Not Jim. Dodger Dave. Not a Dave on our staff. Jim
from
Daves.
From University of Virginia.
From
Jim
Virginia.
Daves.
Photoshop that.
Beautiful. So I just need to know from somebody in South Bend, Indiana, is there a late night place I could grab? Because I'm not getting into like midnight. And then we're up bright and early. Well, you're not. Because you're doing a game.
That's
but
exactly
we're doing,
right.
We're doing the show, as usual. And then I got to work doing the rabbit. And then we got to get road tripping because we've got stuff to do. I'm going to an ACC football venue Saturday.
Yeah.
I will not
be an accomplice to this crime a week from Friday.
You are so jealous. You can't believe I'm getting ready to pull this off again.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And a fast show. Fast show. Love having Servacier.
He was awesome.
And Hannah. Both are great student athletes. Perfect representation of what we talk about on the show all the time. How good the student athletes are in this league. Not only are they terrific on the floor, on the court, in the woods, on the cross country, whatever. But can have great conversations, smart. First class. It's what separates this league from everybody.
All right, let's get to conference cuts. Second scoop. Ready? Clemson, South Carolina. Dabo Swinney, when asked if you'd been spending time with the receivers more.
I spend time with everybody. Defensively, offensively, I spend time with everybody on this roster. It's not just the receivers. It's everywhere. It's just a funk. It's just a stink, and we got to get rid of it. You know, lingering in the car, and we got to get rid of it. It's like Seinfeld. Y'all remember that Seinfeld show where the stink was in the car and you couldn't get rid of it? I don't remember which one. It just pops in my head right here. That's what we got. Oh, my Lord, man. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Good news is we're still Clemson.
Hey.
Tell you what.
We went from a Seinfeld reference to we still Clemson.
Ain't going to be no stink in the Pac-Mobile. That thing's going to be.
Whatever.
What do you. You can downplay it all you want, big man.
I'm not downplaying
it. We're not going to have no stank in the Pac-Mobile. Now, Dabo's got to figure out what's going on with that offense, and I would highly suggest you do it this week going to Pittsburgh.
Let's go to Boston College. Jeff Hafley still being asked what he thought of at the call at the end of the half when Jason Maitre hit a Mecca Emezi and it was ruled an incomplete pass.
You are trying to get me in trouble with the refs. You're the guy who, you know, I appreciate you bringing a smile to my face today. You're the guy who always asks me the questions about the refs, and I'm going to get myself in trouble.
That's not right for you.
They called it. They told me that he bobbled the ball and that it was not a catch. Did you see it?
In real time, I thought it was a fumble.
Did you see the TV copy?
Oh, yeah.
What did it look like on the TV copy? I haven't seen it yet.
Still a fumble.
Okay, well, you can write the story on how you think it was a fumble, but please keep me out of it.
Of course.
Halfly smart, man. He gets it.
You can write the story as a fumble, but keep me out of it.
That was awesome. A big call, by the way.
Oh, right.
But at the end of the first half? Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, you know, that's one bad call or good call, depending on which side you're rooting for. But, you know, the bottom line, though, is second half, NC State buried that idea. I mean, we can get into that argument. Catch, no catch, fumble, no fumble. Bottom line is,
make it 7-7 at halftime and not 10-7? Yeah, yes, right. It does.
But the second half was woodshed.
Right. Scott Satterfield next from Louisville. Question about bye week and what's the main thing you focused on during the bye week if you're the Cards?
You know, there's several things after you go back and kind of watch and figure out what you want to do. And, you know, I think bringing pressure was one thing we should have done more of as you look back last week instead of maybe sitting back because, you know, the quarterback at Virginia was, you know, you give him all the time, it don't matter how many guys you drop into coverage, he's going to find somebody. I mean, he's just that, he's got great poise and he's able to find those windows. And to where if you do bring pressure, the ball's coming out of his hand now. Now, you know, you may be a one-on-one matchup. Now our guy's got to make the play, you know, because if you miss a tackle or you're out of position, that thing's going to for a big play. So that's the chance you got to take, and that's, you know, rolling the dice with that. You know, and I think, you know, but you got to be able to do that. You got to be able to do those things, get the ball out of his hands. And so, you know, or is it cover two, you know, and his safety's not getting off the hash wide enough and they hit one of these balls on the sideline. You know, we got to do a better job with that. You know, the safety's got to get wider to where they can't hit those balls on the sideline. I think, you know, in the Virginia game and in the Wake game, that we gave those plays up.
Different game Saturday. Different game.
What do you mean?
You got a Louisville doesn't have to worry about running receivers. They do, but you need to make sure BC can't run the ball. Go one-dimensional. Just like BC needs to make Louisville one-dimensional.
Well, I'm sure Coach Satterfield watched tape of what Clemson did to BC running the football, and I'm sure he watched all of that NC State game last week. I mean, the blueprint's right there. Now, can you go execute it, right?
Yeah.
Good game, though.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go to Charlottesville. Bronco Mendenhall. UVA's won three straight. Impressive against Duke. The other one's kind of by the field goal, right? He discusses the challenges of keeping his team focused when they're having success.
I think probably I'll just default to the basic idea that most of us with success have a tendency to become more comfortable, less urgent, and a little bit more self-important. And so I think that's just kind of human nature. So really, I work hard just to make sure as an antidote to that, that things remain the same in terms of our routine, that there's not a giant high or a giant low, and the focus is on improvement. And so that's... if I am right, that's what I choose to do about it.
was a new hoodie. I've not noticed that one before. I mean, I was listening to what he had to say, but that caught my eye a little bit. It's a little different look there.
You looking for that too?
No, I'm not looking for anything. Yeah. I'm just making an observation.
It's good.
Bronco is always philosophical. Every time we do conference,
he's great to visit with in the production.
Oh,
meetings.
I bet.
Yeah.
Because he's going to give you something to think about.
Yeah.
Right. And up and above X's and O's.
And believe it or not, I go back to kind of what he said early years of building the program. And now those were much broader strokes.
Yeah.
Now we're in the details business
right.
of
no
them
doubt.
Being successful.
No question about it.
We're going to finish this with Kenny Dillingham, the Florida State offensive coordinator. Now, remember, the Noles had a bye week. Mike Norvell had a birthday, among other things. He was recruiting.
And a two-game winning streak.
And a two-game winning streak. They got a chance to make it three.
They're going to.
Against
guaranteed lock.
Against the Minutemen of the University of Massachusetts.
Lock.
Okay. Well, he started talking about his quarterback this week. How much potential does Jordan Travis have?
Right. It's like that saying, potential, right? Potential gets you fired, right? If you have potential your entire life, it means you've always sucked, right? Eventually, your potential, right, has to become good and become something.
That's the key to our success, isn't it? Isn't that our catchphrase? Huh? If you've had potential your whole life, you suck. Isn't that our go-to? Isn't that the motto on our Packer and Durham t-shirts? No.
No.
Huh. What about that line? You know, in this segment, we've gone from that line, and it started with a Dabo Sweeney, stank in the car, Seinfeld reference. That's where we are in week 8.
Conference cuts is a hidden gem of this show. Conference cuts is a hidden gem. I'm telling you, this is why we do this every week, to get stuff like that, because elsewise, what are you going to get?
Week 8, you know we're into the season.
We're getting to it now, boys.
Yeah, when you start getting some of these quotes this week,
you think the filter's all the way off by next week?
Oh yeah,
it's mostly off right now.
Yeah, by
it's
time
laying in the floor next week.
Yeah, by the time you get to Halloween, we're good.
Yeah,
and here it comes, because folks have now determined, hey, we got a chance of a great year, or we're having one of those years. Hey, can we see the finish line? Let's get this thing over with.
Well, we basically got Halfley telling the media guy,
hey,
"I'm not
it.
Saying it, but you can write it."
Yeah, you write it. Was
that's
fun.
Where that is, Kenny Dillingham. Basically examining the English language and the derivatives of potential.
Can we get it one more time? Is that possible? I hate to do the West Durham trick here, but can we get that one more time? I just want to make sure I get the line exactly right, because that one you normally don't get every week.
Here it is, Kenny Dillingham on Jordan Travis's potential.
Right. It's like that saying, potential, right? Potential gets you fired, right? If you have potential your entire life, it means you've always sucked, right? Eventually, your potential, right, has to become good and become something.
Potential in your entire life, you basically suck. Okay, we got it. I'm writing that one down.
You want that for the afternoon show? Can we put that in your file?
No, that's why I'm writing it down.
Oh,
that's going to be used.
You can run it on the show. Make it a bump for your show. Welcome back to Off Campus. We have potential.
We've had potential our whole lives.
Some would agree with this.
Classic.
Wow.
I like the Noles big, though. If you got UMass on the schedule,
ooh,
you're going to get a W. Noles is going to have a 3-game winning streak going to Death Valley. That
oh, wait.
Let that marinate.
Clemson, Florida State.
Next week. Noles on a 3-game win streak.
Yeah. We didn't get that game last year.
No, well, we tried.
We tried. Yeah, we didn't get it.
We didn't quite get to the starting
line. We didn't
quite
get that game.
Didn't have the Pac-Mobile there to get us to the starting line. Yeah. Drop the rag.
Yeah.
By the way, they dropped the rag and everything. How's that work? I should have asked Hannah that question. We got a gun involved in it? Do we have a horn?
Really? That's what we need. See, firearms.
I'm just asking.
That's what we need. You in a cart with the commissioner.
It's not a cart. It's the Pac-Mobile. Is it a horn? Is it one of those flare guns? Bullhorn? Drop the rag? What do we do with that? It's all NASCAR?
It's like a pistol. Handgun. Pistol.
I'll handle that.
No, you won't.
Oh,
no,
yes, I will.
No, no, no. You got in the cart. You're behind the wheel.
Get it right.
The Pac-Mobile. We're behind the Pac-Mobile. By the way, I promise you somewhere, folks.
Bond.
There's some dissenting opinion on this whole thing happening.
Bond.
There has to be.
Servassier.
There are people who are involved in these championships.
Look at that right there.
That are like, what are we doing? Who's driving what?
That's it. Got a big time personality from the ACC network rolling in there, driving that bad boy right there. I need bigger tires on mine though. I hope that hope that's not really it. I want some big tires on mine.
Now we have to have bigger. It's a Kubota, by the way, that's been photoshopped with you driving.
By the way, do I get to keep the thing at the end of the day?
The what thing?
My Packmobile.
No! God.
Why not?
What are we doing here?
First of all, you're not a part of this anymore. So why are you worried about it? You go worry about whatever game they're going to give you.
Yep.
That 10 a.m. kickoff that you're going to have on next week.
No, 10 a.m. Noon or 4.
I want the Packmobile.
Oh, my gosh.
Take it to every ACC sporting event. Wait till they let us do golf. I'll come rolling in that Packmobile.
We're not going to do golf. We're not going to be allowed. This is all going to burn.
It is not. It's going to be spectacular.
Inferno of your greatness next Friday.
It's going to be spectacular.
Is it? Okay.
Guarantee you.
Yeah. It was a lot different when you were flying the shoe in the Coliseum with John Tarwater.
I love that day, too.
Yeah, I know.
Guy panicked. Totally panicked when I got my hands on the remote.
There are people, administrators, match operations people that are going to be like, we're doing what? They're going to have some Zoom call this week to discuss this.
I love the ESPN executives going, oh, my God, do you know what kind of trouble we could have gotten in if Packer would have crashed the blimp in the goal? I ain't crashing. If I took the blimp and crashed it, it wasn't going to be in the 10-foot goal. It was going to be something much larger.
You know, tomorrow on this show, we're going to discuss the dissenting side of this operation.
Oh, people can hate all you want. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the queen wave when I'm going down next Friday. Give you this one right here. I'll do the Lee Corso, the wave at you. That's what I'm going to do for all you haters out there. This right here. Yeah, right there.
What do you think will be better, the first ride or the second ride you and the commissioner take?
I think the first one's going to be better.
Yeah.
Because I –
you're going to have Marty LaCoury sitting in the back of the Packmobile with the on-air commentary?
How about if I find Digger Phelps' home and put Digger in the back? How about that? Tell Digger to bring some magic markers.
Let me ask you this.
Take a look.
When you get the keys to the Packmobile,
right?
What are we going to do before we tackle the course? Are we going to ride around campus?
Oh, yeah.
Where are we going to go? Have we
decided Jesus, Grotto. We'll go to Jack Swarbrick, get him some coffee.
Jack Swarbrick, get him some coffee.
Well, he's the boss over
go
there.
Go by and see Coach Kelly.
Well, he's busy.
Coach Bray.
Well, I'll go get Bray, but yeah. Kelly's busy.
Maybe Neil Ivey'd like to visit.
Whatever.
Fencing, you got to hook up in the fencing program.
I wonder if that'll fit in my bag.
Well, you need to take it. Plenty up there.
Maybe Muffet will stop by.
You wear that while you drive the fencing helmet?
If it's cold.
Get go Muffet.
By. Muffet's up there. Get Muffet to drop by. Muffet will know where to go late night. But I do need some help, though, from the locals.
We're going to get Muffet on the show next week?
Why not?
Tell you where to...
I would like to get Jack Swarbrick. Yeah. I'd like to get Mike Bray. If Digger's in town, I'd love to see Digger. You know, me and Digger's dog, we go way back. Karen Phelps, Digger.
Digger will give you a Sharpie.
Whatever.
Digger's got Sharpies.
I'm all in.
All right.
I'm all in for South Bend next week.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
NBA goes full tilt tonight.
Yep.
Full schedule of games. Last night, just a pair of games. The most NBA players by current conferences on rosters today, and the leader is the ACC.
No surprise.
89 of them. 77 for the SEC, 69 for the Pac-12, 54 and 50 round out the Power Five. There you go.
Surprised the Big Ten's number isn't higher on that list.
Sure.
I mean, it's a great basketball league.
No question.
I mean, really good.
Yep.
Just thought that number would be a little bit larger.
All right. One quick final fan accounting here before we say goodbye. Grant Wagstaff, whose Twitter handle is at Bumble8eTuna. It's supposed to be Bumblebee Tuna. Sent in a fan accounting. Wake State, Pitt. Clemson, Virginia, Boston College, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, top 9. 10 through 14 is Carolina, Florida State, Syracuse, Miami, Duke. 15 is the Dodgers. And 16 is Pack having to be determined at number one.
Well, he obviously hasn't paid a whole lot of attention because this week TBD was nowhere to be found.
Right.
Nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Right?
So there you go.
Swiss for number one.
Yeah.
Hat is still in play.
By the way, belated congratulations to Louisville's Dana Evans, who is a member of the Chicago Sky that won the WNBA title.
Champion.
Yep. Our, happy congratulations to Dana. Great. You bet. Tomorrow on this show, Florida State quarterback Jordan Travis, Tim Hasselbeck breaks down the Saturday night Georgia Tech-Virginia game, and we'll get his thoughts on this quarterback comparison as well.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.